I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WHWS and WEOS at the Scandling Center here at Hobart and William Smith, and this is the Hobart Football Podcast, Episode 55, the Centennial Cup overtime victory, and a look ahead to Hilbert, Saturday, 12 noon, St. Francis High School. Fans, if you're going, it's right by Lake Erie. It's going to be chilly. It's going to be windy. So dress for it. Joined by the head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back.
Good morning.
And congratulations on 50 wins at Hobart.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that was a... I got a couple texts coming through. I didn't realize they were releasing that. And it's obviously just a testament of we've had some really good players, really good coaches over the years, and fortunate to be in this role.
So I figured it out. If you win out, your win percentage will be 703. Kreger's is 717. Is he getting worried?
I don't think so. I think he's safe and comfortable. And, you know, obviously we're all competitive. And, you know, I had the good fortune to be coaching with him, and he kind of set the standard. And my job is to kind of uphold that and hopefully even raise the standard even higher. And he's been a great mentor. And again, I just think of all the players and great coaches we've had all the way through these years, and you know, I think we got some good things coming for us in the future.
I want to work backwards. Let's start with the final play, because I didn't really get a good look. They ruled it an incomplete pass. I just saw a big mass of bodies and nobody going in the end zone. So what happened on that final play for Rochester?
They had a situation where on third down they get it closer, and obviously needed to play for the four downs, and they kind of ran a little a pick route on the left side as they were looking. Our defense is right, and you know, our defense was there. Jaron Atwater made a great play on the ball. Probably could have intercepted. Ended up coming out. It was an incomplete pass, and either way, the stop was the stop, and that's what we needed to secure the win.
So quarterback Jeremy Weiss went down, roughed in the back of the end zone. He is out. What's his prognosis?
Yeah, I think we got some positive news in terms of there wasn't a break and then the fracture of where we thought it could be. You know, he didn't honestly, I'm not sure if he's going to be available this week or not. Original plans were no. He seems like he's trending better, but again, to be determined in terms of his availability this week. And just like that position, you know, we've had other guys step up yesterday at practice. You know, we had a couple other younger guys coming in and getting reps, and that's probably going to be more of a game-to-game decision over the next couple games for him. And then, you know, obviously, True came in and stepped up well in his opportunity there. So I would think it's going to be him at the start, but still kind of figuring out as the week progresses here.
He got sacked three times and then the one roughing and a couple of other close ones. And it was funny because the offensive line was opening great holes in the run game. What went wrong with the pass protection?
Honestly, it wasn't so much the O-line. Jeremy missed a couple things or he held it. Two of the sacks came on run plays where he kept it when he shouldn't have. And he'd been making some good decisions. But, yeah, honestly, all those protections were not on the O-line. That was Jeremy holding the ball. Again, two of them were runs, so they were more tackles for losses. They credit him for sacks. But one was an opportunity where he could run it down in the score zone or throw the ball. He decided to look to throw it where he should have thrown it away. The other one was another one, again, where he pulled it and should have thrown it or thrown it away. In both those situations, he should have given the ball. And then the one that was a legitimate sack was just an error on his call and protection. So, you know, really good teaching moments. We actually yesterday walked it through. And again, I think you learn from experience. There was a situation where we had talked about it, maybe hadn't seen it. I think he'll make sure he doesn't make that mistake again.
True Styles is kind of the opposite. His tendency sometimes is to maybe take off and not take a long look, but on the last touchdown in overtime, he hung in there and found Marcus Peterson and delivered a great ball for the win.
Yeah, that was actually one of his best throws of the year and in a really crucial moment. And I think that's what was really great about it is we trust him throwing. You know, obviously, with some of his health throughout the year, it's been about what does he feel comfortable being able to do. And, you know, I think, you know, he's a big, strong athlete. So there were some times where, you know, we were trying to get him involved in the run game and him reading it. And again, handing the ball off to EJ and our running backs is always a good decision. So I always tell the quarterbacks, if you're not sure, give it. But a lot of our offense is based off of number counts in the box, fronts, matchups, whether we run it, whether we throw it. It's not so much RPOs, it's just the ability of, like, where do our best matchups come. And in some situations, we do have the quarterback reading, you know, an inside linebacker, an outside backer, a strong safety, a C-gap defender. So in some of those situations, you know, True provides a different running threat than Jeremy. and both are capable to throw it, both are capable to run it. but I think they're both, you know, maybe feel more comfortable doing one over the other. And, you know, I thought True stepped up and actually had a couple of good audibles at the right times in terms of both run and pass. And, again, I thought that was one of the better balls he's thrown, you know, throughout the season. So it came at the right time in the overtime.
Right before the half, you had one of those bad luck punts where they punted. It hit right in the end and rolled and rolled and rolled down to the one, took over, and went on a 99-yard scoring drive that ended with one of the most brilliant catches I think I've ever seen by Luke Hescock. I mean, just the concentration to keep that ball and keep the foot down in the back corner of the end zone. What a play.
Yeah, great drive, and really a signature drive in that game, you know, taking the 14-point lead up to 21. I thought scoring, and actually we had got it back and had a chance maybe to put in some more, but I thought in the first half we were playing the ball that we thought we could play. Offensively, it was pretty efficient between run and pass. The ratio was pretty good. We were balanced. Really, like, other than those couple negative plays you said that were more self-induced that we took those sacks on, I felt like we were moving the ball. And more importantly, when we got in the score zone, we scored the touchdowns to get that 21-0 lead. Our defense was playing well. We were getting stops. And really, the game plan was really executed to a T what we thought in the first half, minus those couple negative plays you know, from the quarterback taking sacks. But either way, we put ourselves in a really good spot for the lead and, you know, didn't take our foot off the gas in the second half. We really thought we wanted to really extend that, get to a 4-possession lead coming out with the first possession. And, you know, unfortunately, we knew going in that the thing that was going to hurt us would be turning the ball over. And we were pretty smart. We were pretty safe in the first half. And again, I thought Jeremy's played really well at times. He made some really good throws in that game, but he also made some mistakes that I know that he wants back. And one of those, that fourth down interception, trying to do too much within himself. And then subsequently, the putting the ball on the ground, EJ's really held the ball well, putting it on the ground. And unfortunately, that, I think, single-handedly got some momentum back in their hands. And then our defense, who had been getting some stops, didn't get some stops there late. So, you know, credit them for coming back. But, you know, not the finish of the second half we wanted. But, again, being able to pull guys together and have the resolve to finish in overtime, I put the focus on that for our guys. And again, not everything's gone smooth this year, but how we responded. And, you know, the thing that I liked in that game, you know, our defense gets a stop, you know, behind that interception. That was really big. You know, those are the two things. That's two games in a row where our defense has gotten a key stop in the score zone. And typically the offense has done a really good job in the score zone, and that's how you win games.
So what happened when, from the third quarter, when they got that first touchdown, it just looked like your team kind of lost poise and composure? I was seeing guys running out on the field, and am I supposed to be here? Am I supposed to be there? And it just got kind of out of hand from a standpoint of kind of cohesion and being together. You were able to right the ship, but what in your mind happened in that in-between time?
Yeah, I think that they were a pretty solid team. I think our defensive had gotten stops. We got a little undisciplined in either some tackling. There was a one time we extended with a penalty. There was one time where, like, coverage-wise, we had a breakdown. And where we had gotten stops in the first half, they didn't. So, like, it all starts with the offense putting the ball on the ground or turning it over. Like, those are the things we shouldn't have done. And again, I know the guys didn't intend to do that, but, you know, instead of going up 28-0, you know, we put the ball on the ground and they scoop it up. It's 21-7. Again, we're in fine position. At that point, we had the injury at the quarterback position. So, you know, trying to get going. And a huge part of it is they started to pack the box a little bit. And we missed a couple things and didn't convert a third and short, like the things that we had did in the first half. So I don't think it was a whole knee-jerk reaction. I do think that you know, the offense didn't quite execute as well and put the defense in maybe a field position situation. But the last two drives, Rochester converted against our defense and then had to convert a two-point play. So I give them credit that they made some plays that that they hadn't been making in the first half. And I really felt, honestly, that where our run game was at and even where we were throwing it, the last two possessions right before we eventually, you know, had to go into overtime, where we should have gotten some points on, and we just missed. We missed a third and medium that I was close to going for it on fourth, but didn't want to give Rochester the short field back, so we punted away. And then really that last drive, we were one more play away, probably to getting into true field goal range. We were right out of the cusp of, honestly, I didn't want to kick it to that depth, but it was the smartest thing to do at that time to give us a chance to win the game. So not to say we didn't make a ton of adjustments. I think it was really came down to one or two plays that we didn't execute and Rochester did that kind of flipped it probably to a 14-point swing. And I really thought our defense was going to get one of those stops late, and I also thought the offense was going to score late, that you win a close game on the road before getting pushed into overtime.
Is some of that due to the injuries? I mean, it's got to be tough. You guys got going down in game, and all of a sudden it's like, wait, am I on this package? It's to try to do that on the fly. Normally, it's pretty easy. Okay, this package you're in, but then all of a sudden the receiver goes down or one of the linemen goes down. I mean, it just never ends.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the injuries is never an easy thing. And it's not just the one person who's missing. It's the reps, the cohesion that happened throughout the week. And Jeremy had a really good week of practice. And again, I know he made some mistakes, but when he went down, that changed some things in the passing game. And True had limited reps last week. So then to his credit, he came in and, you know, that's where I was being a little bit more cautious in terms of the play calling, because they weren't reps that True had gotten that week. And, you know, I wanted to make sure we were still executing, but I also felt I didn't want to do anything that was going to turn the ball over and give our defense maybe even a shorter field to defend. So so I think that's where, like, we were building up that momentum with True, and ultimately it carried over into what we did in overtime is what I thought we were going to do in those last two drives in the fourth quarter. And, I mean, you know, missing an O-lineman up front changed some things, you know, obviously changing at the quarterback. But I really do think it comes down to the execution piece. Like, we had a couple false starts on the third quarter. Like, it was things that, like, came back to us. And you know, it's fortunately, it's been pretty consistent throughout the year that, I mean, as much as we prepare for opponents, and I said this to him very clearly yesterday at practice, like, it comes down to Hobart and our execution more so than anything that any of our opponents are doing. And I think it's a sign of, you know, we got a lot of guys out there that are, you know, now gaining some experience, but the cohesion piece, you know, just very rarely. That's why the first half was really impressive. That was closer to what I thought. That was a really good first half when you look at how the offense, the defense, and the special teams were playing. And, you know, again, minus maybe a couple negative plays that Jeremy took at the quarterback position that killed some drives. I mean, we were pretty close to moving it at will. I mean, you know, EJ was running the ball well. The O-line was protecting it well, minus, like I said, a couple of the plays that Jeremy was just trying to do a little too much. And again, he made some really good plays and throws. And I just think that response to that 99-yard drive, that's indicative of who we are on offense, the, you know, longer play drives than just big plays. And so I thought we were in a really good spot. You know, we talked about it, didn't have to make too many halftime adjustments. And honestly, they didn't change much in the halftime. That's what I'm saying. It's not so much, you know, Rochester was a good team and a really good scoring defense. We just knew we couldn't put the ball on the ground or throw it to them. And I think the third quarter was some of the offensive decisions and false starts that came back to, you know, just maybe a lack of focus. I don't know at that point. I don't have my thumb exactly on what that was. But then really, like, the defense of who had been playing pretty well, like, they put two really good drives against our defense. So whether that's a testament to Rochester's offense or whether that was our defense, again, I think a couple of times, you know, being in the wrong spot or missing some things or extending drives for them. And, you know, again, they only gave up the 14 points. The fumble was the other six. I actually still thought, like, we had opportunities to put that away in the fourth quarter, and that's where I think our guys really came together. And probably one of the best things that no one really saw was, like, the confidence that group had that they were going to win it in the overtime. You know, gladly we would have not have wanted to put it into overtime. And when you look at the body of work, it looks like we kind of let the foot off the gas. It wasn't that. I think it came down a little bit to execution against a team that, you know, Rochester's having one of their best seasons they've had in a long time. So that was a good team on the road. We thought we could have put a good team on the road away. And that's where I'm not sure if we're a good or a great team. A great team puts that away. And I think we've shown at times where we haven't been able to play great consistently, we let them back in the game. I think that's more on us. And I think there's some really good learning to know about how you need to put a team away when you do have that advantage. But at the same time, I think sometimes being able to make plays late and from – you know, just getting that first down in overtime, you know, running the ball the way you need to, put them in a situation where we got the coverage we wanted. True and Marcus capitalized. And then, you know, you see it oftentimes in overtimes where people play it tentative and only set up for a field goal or don't get it. Like, I thought it was really important that the offense set the tone and gave the defense that 7-point lead to now know that Rochester was going to go for it on four downs. You know, they had the pass interference. And again, the defense could have, like, you know, given up or say, hey, you know, we're going to concede it. And they did the opposite. They really dug in. And, you know, I think that was really cool is how we win games. Typically, that goes back to that complementary fashion. And I thought it was really great to know that, you know, offense was prepared if we needed to go back out for the second overtime, but was optimistic that our defense was going to come up with a stop, and sure enough, they did.
That was real big. I mean, they start overtime with a false start, so they're first and 15, get what I thought was a little bit of a ticky-tack interference call that we haven't seen called in the last 4 or 5 years. But then they just dug in and stopped a couple of runs and then got real good pressure on the quarterback on that last play.
Yeah, and I think that's the neat part of it is, like, I think Rochester wanted to run it in, getting a couple key stops short, and then forcing, which was, I think it was fourth and goal at the 2, and a lot of people would try to run it there, and I think they just felt like they had to throw it in. And I think that is a compliment to those run stops before that. And ultimately, like I said, we had guys in the right position, and there's their first year, Jerron, who's, you know, graded out as our best defensive player on the field that day, you know, got rookie of the week this week. Like, there's a good example of a guy who didn't even play in week one because of an injury, and each week just keeps gaining experience and has performed really, really well. And that's one of the reasons our defense has played well the last couple of weeks, is guys like himself and others that are now hopefully benefiting from that, being thrown into the mix as younger guys earlier.
Were you surprised at all? I was kind of expecting to see Jet Genovese in the overtime for them. He either line up as a quarterback and a true Styles type runner, or coming around in some kind of end around. I was a little surprised that we didn't see him in OT.
Yeah, and I think he's a really good athlete, and ultimately I'm not sure if he's going to stay quarterback for him. I could see him as a running back or a slot, like. But he was he's dynamic, and I know he threw the interception, so I don't know if they were worried about that. But especially when they got that pass interference play, I think we all thought he would be involved in some capacity, just because he is a threat with the ball in his hands.
So E.J. Taylor went for a career high, 198. Cotter ran the ball well when he was in there. And what I said on the air, I think in the last couple of weeks, the offensive line has allowed the running backs to get to the second level and make the great cuts. They both made terrific cuts, but for a lot of the year, they were never able to get to that position where they could do that.
Yeah, yeah, and I think we talked about it in early in the season. That was the, I mean, between that and quarterback, the offensive positions, O-line was probably the one that was dinged up the most. And I think when you look at from Alfred to the Brockport game and to Utica, all the way into the start of league play, Ithaca and even RPI, that group was not healthy, was not able to keep the same group intact, and I think it showed in terms of how we were able to run the ball, probably even more so. I mean, we gave up too many sacks, and honestly, right now, a lot of the sacks and pressures are coming from the quarterback position. So I know a lot of people point to the O-line. That's everybody has a piece of the run game, and you know, we stopped and we watched the film on Sunday about some of those holes that were generated by the offensive line. It was great, but honestly, like Luke Hescock and the tight ends, there was a handful of key blocks by them at the second level. We had receivers on the one big long run, Johnny Harding and Jordan Nolan doing a great job. Like, so we're looking at it, I mean, and that's my job as a coach. Like, I know people on the outside look at it as one position. We're looking at it as a whole and how we all have a part of passing success, running success, scoring success. And honestly, we've done a better job partly because of, I mean, yeah, we had some injuries, not as many injuries the last couple of games. So we got at least the group that's practicing throughout the week together. Typically that carries over to a higher focus and higher execution level on Saturdays. But I think no doubt the offensive line has performed better the last couple. And again, EJ and Cotter were the two main running backs on Saturday, you know, the week before, Taj Jackson. I think those three have been getting the most carries. They're capable backs, and obviously we know they're talented, but like I think we've finally been able to get them, and again, our goal is to get them to the second level. And I think there was a handful of times where earlier in the season we were covering guys up at the point of attack, but we weren't getting that combination block, whether it was a zone or a gap scheme, up to the next level. And the running backs had to do a lot of that work at the next level. And I think when you have those bigger runs, that's typically a good indicator that the O-line is getting it done initially, but then likely the wide receivers, the tight ends, are able to then get into linebackers or strong safeties. And then, you know, we had a couple long runs that end up getting us down into scoring situation. And, you know, obviously EJ had a really good career day. And honestly, if it wasn't for maybe a couple plays here or there, he probably could have, you know, crushed it even more. So, yeah, he's doing really well. And I think he'll be the first to acknowledge that, you know, obviously the better the O-line and the tight ends and the receivers are blocking for him, not only does he show out, but it just makes our passing game so much more dangerous because they have to defend the run, where in some of those games earlier, I don't know if we were running it at the level that we wanted to.
I think the other thing that helps the passing game, we saw the payoff from two games ago. Nolan had the big day. Reynolds made a big catch. So now defense is, oh, we got to cover this guy deep. We got to cover this guy deep. And then Johnny Harding ran wild, and Weiss was able to find him. I think the first six pass completions were all to Johnny. He had something like 60 yards after catch, which is what he's so good at.
Yeah. The way they played us, different. And again, week to week, the coverages, the schemes are different. You know, St. Lawrence played us actually very uniquely different. They were trying to protect the inside. That's why those outside receivers that you mentioned, you know, Nolan and Reynolds and Hanson, those guys on the outside, and even Marcus did a pretty good job in that game. And then this past week, just again, not that the outsides weren't open, but we were able to really target the inside. So, again, week to week, it's going to be a little different. But, you know, the good thing, we kind of done a better job, I think, in the preparation standpoint where we had a lot of this stuff open earlier in the year, but either the protections or the chemistry was just a little bit off. And I think as Jeremy's progressed more, and even True right there, like I think there's hopefully we're increasing the trust factor with where those tight ends and receivers will be. And again, like Luke Hescock on the touchdown you brought up earlier, you know, Luke had been out earlier in the week in practice, but we came back. We spent a lot of time knowing we were going to get man-to-man down in that score zone. And frankly, the two of the plays that we executed, what comes down to that looked pretty good as we got to Thursday. Thursday is a big score zone day for us. And, you know, Luke is always a guy that we think of in general upfield, but especially down in the score zone with his range. And it was a perfectly thrown ball by Jeremy. The protection was great. And obviously Luke made a really good contested catch. It was probably a pass interference, and he still come down and secure the catch. So you think of that one, and you think of the second touchdown, which was the completion to Harding, which was, again, a fourth down. Two of our scores were on fourth downs, like go for three, go for seven. And it was really, I think, smart decisions on our end as an offense to go for it, to get the seven, because we thought we needed seven more than three. And then that's the pride I have as a coordinator, is that the carrying over the execution that we clean up and try to execute during the week, and now making sure that it shows out on Saturday. Both of those plays were specifically matchups that we thought we were going to get, and then Jeremy and the offense was able to now go out and execute it. So no doubt, I think the more that we can keep that running game going, which for this week, most of the running against Rochester was done in between the tackles. Some other games it's been more on the outside, and it was kind of where we thought we had some matchups. So and earlier in the year, our O-line, again, a lot of our injuries were more in the inside. The first couple of games, it was probably affected us more at tackles. The last middle third of the season, it was probably more on the inside. And again, we lost someone on Saturday that affected it. But like, we've now have generated enough depth because of the injuries, where now the guys that have stepped in have gotten more experience. So, you know, some people will call it as excuses. I looked at it as challenges. The challenges of the injuries have now provided great opportunities for experience that should show out, you know, in not only in the future for like this week and next week and the finish of the season, but ultimately as we head into big picture, who's returning next year and building it from there.
One of the reasons you get out 21-0 was field position. It was a windy day, and I thought Vicente Lyon probably had his best punting day of the year. He had a 44-yarder into the wind, kept it low, kept it away from the return men. I mean, almost all their drive starts were around the 20, and you had a couple around the 40.
Yeah, you hit that on the head, and we said that going in, that in good games, and this is it sounds redundant because we talked about how do you win games? Well, field position, turnover, scoring in the score zone. Like, you can reenact it every week, and typically there's two or three categories that are going to be favorable for you to win games. And we were cognizant of understanding how offensive decisions and execution, when we do try to either punt it or a punt block, how much yards we gain in there, and then ultimately defensive stops. And that's what good teams do. They're able to change the field position. And, you know, I think in that game, absolutely, early in the game, we had better field position that was generated because all three phases were working together, and that's going to be a goal for us every single week.
That defensive line is really Brosco and Voss, particularly in the middle, are really starting to disrupt.
Yeah, those guys are playing at a really high level, and now have done it consistently for a handful of games. And, you know, I think those two have a really good combination of both size and strength with the quickness piece that they're going to be tough matchups. And the better they perform, obviously, that's now helped some of those linebackers behind them. And, you know, just like you said, the disruption And not just those two. There was a couple other D linemen as well that stepped up. And, you know, they're going to be challenged with a different task this week. But at the same time, I'm pleased because both those guys are guys that we've seen and we've known they can play at that level. And now they're showing out.
First matchup ever with Hilbert. They've never won a football game. But I love what they're doing. I think their approach is perfect for building a team like that. We're going to try to run the ball, shorten the game, and if they ever put that together and don't turn the ball over, they can start to win some football games.
Yeah, if you remember, we played them 2 years ago.
That's right.
So it's the first time we're going there to play them. But 2 years ago, and honestly, they were different. That was like, it's the same head coach. So he's trying to build it. He's a defensive-minded coach, and they do some really good things on defense. And I think that's what the – probably a really smart decision on their part is to go to that style of offense. As they're trying to build a program and obviously they're playing, you know, younger guys and we've been there before. When you play youth, sometimes you need that experience. But as we've seen with the triple option, each week they're getting better throughout the season there from what we've seen on film. And it's an offense that just, you don't see it very much. Like, we have a couple guys on our defense that have never played it, you know, whether it was the high school or not. And, you know, even some of our coaches that have coached against it. But it'll be a different challenge. Obviously, the ability to – the O-line is different splits, and everything's happening so quick. You know, it's the triple option, so they're going to try to live with a dive option with a bigger, stronger back. And a three-yard gain is what they live off of. You know, 3-3-3, and then you see they go for it more on fourth down because they're in those situations. And then when you get kind of lulled into sleep, then they have the ability for the quarterback, you know, or the basically like an orbit motion pitch guy to get to the edge, and that's where they want to – the bigger plays, as long as you can tackle inside, it's they're just trying to, you know, just slow death inside. They're going to try to just keep pounding you, convert first downs, and then on the edge, that's where they're going to try to get you to lull to sleep. You're going to talk about eye discipline and really being able to be knowing your assignment. This is about assignment football, which is always true. The great thing about what our defense is, teams that play like read zone and zone, you know, option, it's the same type of thing. It's just coming, but this is under center, and it's just a slightly different visual key for our guys. So no doubt it's going to be a good challenge and task for our defensive guys. But I also think it's a challenge that they're excited about. You know, maybe some of our linebackers are better against the run than maybe against the pass. This is a team that, not to say they won't pass, but you're going to be heavy run for about, you know, 8 or 9 of your defensive guys. And then you got to be really disciplned on the back end, because that's where they'll try to lull you into sleep, is with your corners and safeties. They're going to be more important as tacklers, but they have to be disciplined to know, like, read your key, make sure it's a run before. Because that's when, I mean, I don't think Hilbert's thrown a pass in the last 2 games. And these were games they were behind on. They're living and going with the run. But we all know that any time, if you're on discipline, they can play action and be able to throw the ball. And that's where our corners and safeties have to stay back and be that last line of defense.
I tried to find some video on them, but everything was all behind a paywall. So the wingbacks, are they in fairly tight, like a wishbone or something? Or is it like the old style RPI where they're out just off the tackles?
Yeah, they're going to give us different formations. Oftentimes they're off of that kind of hip wing of a tackle or a tight end. You know, they'll sometimes split like stand-up tight ends or wide receivers that are, I mean, essentially blockers. They're not throwing it very much. But they have some speed at those wing positions. So, like, it's the triple option, but one of their top plays is just like a kind of orbit toss, rocket motion, and now you're trying to get those extra blockers on the perimeter. And that's where I say, like, it's going to be – you know, we need the guys inside to trust that their key is to stop the quarterback on the keep in, you know, like the quarterback follow, midline option, or stopping the fullback. And then our edge guys have to be disciplined not to try to do someone else's job. They got to stay true to be ready to either force the pitch on the quarterback. You know, we got to do a really good job not giving them the same pitcher every single play, because that's what option teams will live off of. They built in saying, all right, if you do this, here's the answer. It's almost like a if and then statement where they're going to know how to attack it. So I think it's going to be assignment football, but more importantly, like, play aggressive. We got to get, you know, the one thing that sometimes option teams do is if you sit back, they can kind of just, again, 3 and 4 yards, that's a win for them. We got to get them where now they're at second and long, third and long, because we've either made a gray area in the read and forced the ball, put it on the ground, or made some really good tackles. So they're used to like falling forward, and now all of a sudden, you know, second and 7 becomes 2nd and 5. And again, they're playing for those 3rd and 4th downs. And I think the other part of it is, like, and we've seen it off of video, we know, and we even saw it against Rochester, two teams that wanted to run the ball, you're going to get one or two less possessions if they're having success running the ball, because that clock, just in the way the new rules have changed, NCAA has decided to try to make these games as short as possible. That's one or two less possessions. Well, that comes into our thinking of how aggressive we need to be on offense, how many possessions are we going to get. And again, I think with their coaching staff, they're doing really well in terms of, like, playing the football they need. They're super aggressive on defense to try to get the negative play. And on offense, they're going to try to shorten the game and try to possess it. And again, there's some times, they scored on the opening possession against RPI in a big long run. So they're very capable. They have athletes that are touching the ball. I still think as they're building the program, the depth isn't there is what they're aspiring to be. But, you know, I think teams, and we've seen teams in the past, the Springfields, the Merchant Marines, that were, you know, some of the best running teams in the country statistically because they commit so much to that option. Once you get it going, that's a really tough offense to defend.
One of the things that type of offense will do is use your aggression against you. Do you have to talk to, especially the guys on the outside, to just take a breath and don't fly by the play?
Yeah, you've seen it sometimes, and we've gone back and watched a ton of video of even some previous teams we've played, and it's inside, it's happening so fast. And now with the biggest rule change, it used to be you could cut, and that was a whole different animal in terms of how to defend the triple option, because usually they were using smaller O-line that were just faster and quicker, and their whole bear crawling and cutting your ankles and knees. And we always say, like, would we have enough healthy linebackers to finish the game because everything was coming in low? The new rule that they've changed a couple of years ago with no cutting, I mean, that's hurt us on offense with some of our screen game and different things, but for triple option teams, it's definitely changed how you have to do it. So inside, it's going to be, can we tackle? And that group's got to be super aggressive because it's going to happen. It's quick, fast, and in a hurry. The edge is going to be the discipline. As we change up the surface, sometimes your assignment might be the dive, sometimes it might be the quarterback, sometimes it might be the pitch. And then as they change in, like, like say misdirection, our counterpoint player has to make sure that he's not going over and trying to do someone else's job, is to make sure that it doesn't bounce back, or, you know, there's some counters or some reverses that are going to come back to you. And that's where I think of, you know, years ago, like, having athletes being disciplined to be able to track things from the backside if we can hold up on the front side.
We talked earlier about the guys in the middle of the defensive line, Voss and Dillabo. I should throw him in there. Yep. And Brosco, of course. Is part of the plan to hope those guys can take the dive away and force them to pitch?
Well, the way triple option works, it's really hard for the defense to do it alone, defensive line to do it alone. So we're going to need to commit some of our inside linebackers as well. I think by changing up the front, changing up the surface, I don't think you can just stay in one pitcher the entire time. I think that kind of gives the O-line and the quarterback and the offensive coordinator confidence to know, like, where we're going to be. So similar to what we're going to do, we're going to give them different fronts. We're going to give them different alignments of our linebackers. We're going to give them different pressures. As you do that, it's obviously a calculated risk that you want to make sure that our guys are disciplined what they're doing and confident what they're doing so that we're not in the wrong play, because at one point, if you're in the wrong gap, they can hit it. But I do think the D-line is going to have to be disruptive. The teams that have had success with them, from what we've seen on video, are getting defensive line tackles for a loss or tackles. So if we can get some of those in, I really think it's going to be our linebackers and our safeties have to – they should be our leading tacklers, because most of it's going to be funneled to those guys. And then there's going to be a couple probably needed tackles from our corners or safety at the highest level to make sure that a 7, 8, 9, 10-yard gain doesn't become a 67, 70-yard gain.
All right, 12 noon game Saturday. Again, it's at St. Francis High School in Hamburg. It's right by Lake Erie. It's windy there. It's chilly, so prepare for that. And again, it's a 12 noon kickoff before the finale with Buffalo State. One other question I was asked by a fan to ask you this. If you went out and go 5-5, apparently some 5-5 teams have gone for bowls. Would you put in a bid for one?
Yeah, we've talked with our leadership group, which is our captains and our pride council, and our focus right now is to get this week's 1-0. If we get to 1-0, we're one game away from getting to that point. And anyone that knows me and knows our program, if we have the opportunity to play on, we're going to try to take advantage of that opportunity. We just want to be really careful that we're not putting that focus on and looking past anyone. So we haven't even talked about Buff State. We haven't even talked about that. In the big picture, if we're playing well and we win our last four and playing football the way I think we can, then maybe we've deserved that opportunity. Right now, we know we got to go take care of this triple option. We got to be able to find ways to score and get a lead here against Hilbert, finish this game off, and then come back and celebrate. And if we can get to 5-5 and finish strong, then we're going to entertain all opportunities if we can play on.
All right, 12 noon Saturday on WHWS. You can find this podcast wherever you go to get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, and, of course, get all your athletics information at hwsathletics.com. Best of luck making it 3 in a row, Coach.
Awesome. Thank you. It's called a winning streak. We like that, and we're going to try to keep this thing going.